Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to begin today with the debate about a living wage and what it takes to get by in Massachusetts. Here's one set of numbers to keep in mind. Adults earning minimum wage in the state, about $8 an hour, earn less than $17,000 a year.
So at a speech today before the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, the state Senate President, Therese Murray, said it's time to start a serious conversation about what constitutes a living wage in Massachusetts. She said this is particularly true as corporate profits and the stock market continue to rise while real wages for many working people are stagnant or even declining. And Senate President Therese Murray joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Also with us is John Hurst. He's president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts. Welcome to you, John Hurst.
Thank you, Anthony. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. And let me start with you, Senator Murray. In calling for this conversation, you pointed out that Maine and New York have moved to boost their minimum wages to $9 an hour. Here in Massachusetts, the minimum wage has been at $8 since 2008. Is it time to boost the minimum wage here?
Well, I think it's time to have that discussion and begin the discussion of what a living wage is and how much people need to make to live in this Commonwealth. And well, I think you threw out one number there for a single individual. It's $28,500. If you make minimum wage, that's $16,704. So that's below the poverty level of 19. So there's a big gap, about $12,000 between, you know, what minimum wage pays for and what you need to make to make it to be economically independent.
Sure. So you've called for a conversation. You've stopped short of saying we should raise that minimum wage. Why not start the conversation right there with a proposal to boost that minimum wage?
The conversation needs to start now, absolutely. And I think that it's important because what people don't realize is for people who make on the lowest scale, government steps in. Everyone else's tax dollars pay for this individual's, say, health care or subsidized housing or daycare. So it's the federal and state government that make up the difference there.
Right. Okay. Well, let me go over to John Hurst, president of the Retailers Association. What are your members saying? I mean, Therese Murray's talking about beginning a conversation. What about the conversation around the minimum wage? Good idea to raise that minimum wage, which has been stuck at $8 since 2008.
Right. Well, you know, we welcome the discussion. I think the Senate president's on target that we should have a discussion. Here in Massachusetts, we've had a history of having that discussion about every 5 years, really since the early 80s. And, you know, it's been 5 years since the last increase. It's been a tough 5 years, I think everyone would agree. I think from some of our standpoint, you know, we would prefer that discussion, frankly, be in Washington, where the playing field would be level, you know, for all companies, small and large, you know, whether you're in Massachusetts or New Hampshire or you know, compete. Increasingly for the retail community, the competition is at the other end of the smartphone. So, you know, we need to have a discussion about a lot of different employer costs in Massachusetts and how, you know, some things may put us a little bit out of whack with our competition over the border and on at the other end of the smartphone. But yeah, let's have that discussion. I think, you know, there's a number of things that we need to talk about as far as the cost of employing people in Massachusetts. Mm.
Are you concerned? To what extent are you concerned that an increase in the minimum wage, I'm just going to stick with that for a little bit longer, would discourage businesses, including the retailers you represent, from hiring people?
Well, you know, this really does get down to jobs. You know, we've been pretty flat on jobs, as we all know, even not really recovering since the last increase and the beginning of this downturn that we've, you know, for our, really in Massachusetts, it really hit us fourth quarter of 2007. It's been a difficult climb out of that. So, you know, we have to be cautious. You know, we need to look at the cost. Myself, I'm particularly concerned about teenagers. You know, we have literally half as many teenagers employed today than what we did in 1999. Something's going on here, you know, and you know, that's something that's got to be part of the discussion. A number of states have, you know, minimum wages above the federal level, but also have teen wages, you know, ways to have, you know, kids that are trying to get that first job, keep them employed, over the summer. Maybe 50 cents lower than the state rate. Illinois and other states have that. Let's have that discussion. Let's look at the right level of where we are versus our competitors, particularly neighbor states.
Therese Murray, I'd like you to respond to that, and also to the concern for many in the business community that raising the minimum wage would result in businesses being able to hire fewer workers, especially now, as John was just suggesting, in the early days of this fragile economic recovery.
Well, I think it's important to remember that, as I said this morning, and this is if the people make a lot more than minimum wage, 60% of the people in Massachusetts bring home a paycheck, that live paycheck to paycheck, and their paychecks are spent before they get home. And those are people who make more than minimum wage. So if you expect, and again, teenage wages could be part of the discussion, certainly, but a lot of teens help their family survive. I know the cleaning crew here at the State House. The woman who cleans my office works 2 40-hour jobs with no benefits. And she lives with her sister, and she lives with other people in that apartment because they can't afford to live on their own here. So we really have to sit down and look at, if we're all going to be part of this American dream, let's sit down and figure out, make sure everybody, is part of that, that we're all a community. I think that businesses won't necessarily not hire, because a lot of people I've talked to said, no, we'll still have the same 4 people or 5 people. And a lot of the companies say, I already pay higher than the minimum wage. So I think you're really not looking so much at retail, John. I think you're looking more probably at fast food or things like that, where that discussion has to take place.
You mentioned the worker in your office working 2 40-hour jobs. It raises the question, is it enough to just talk about the minimum wage? In other words, in your calling for this discussion, what else should we be talking about? Because so far, and I know we're just a few hours after you put this proposal on, this idea for this conversation on the table, there's been a lot of writing and talking about the minimum wage, but maybe it needs to go a lot farther than that.
Well, I think the discussion of a living wage would be the next step up for that. There's the minimum wage, and then there's the living wage. What is the cost of living, and how much do you need to actually live in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to get by? And those are two separate conversations, but they have to take place, because when you have people working like this and with no benefits, and they're just barely making it, and they're not home to be with their kids because they have to work to put food on the table and a roof over their heads, then something's wrong. If we can look at the entire everything that goes into trying to live in and be comfortable and not even be comfortable in this Commonwealth, we have a lot of people that make money from the people who work in their businesses. So if the people in their businesses aren't making enough, we know, we see them. They're on our MassHealth, they're on our Medicaid pay rolls, they're on our subsidized housing rolls, they're on our subsidized daycare and education rolls. So somebody's paying for it. Everybody's paying for it.
Sure.
So why don't we structure it in a different way?
Well, let me come back to you, John Hurst, because this morning, Therese Murray at the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, she asked the question, she urged members of the business community to think about what constitutes a living wage. What's your answer to that? What is a living wage in this? What should a living wage be in this state?
Well, I think as the Senate President said, there's really two different things here. I think a living wage, what constitutes that for a family is certainly different than what constitutes that perhaps for a teenager or someone out in their first job, trying to actually get their foot in the door and get the experience that they need to move up the ladder. Those are the people, frankly, that have been hurt the most, particularly in this economic downturn. They're not getting the jobs at all. The jobs that, formerly went to teenagers are now going to, college students and retirees. There's a real problem here that, we're pricing out some of these folks that are just trying to get in the door in the first place. They're not getting the jobs at all. So, I know wages are a problem in this country. It's a real issue that we've seen, all of us have seen, given the downturn that we've had now, sustained far too long. And we certainly see it in the retailing community. The 2% increase in the payroll tax, hit families, very, very hard this year. And that wiped out a lot of what was for a lot of people their entire increases, you know, their increases that they might have seen in their paychecks for this year. You know, and that, of course, turns, you know, puts less money back into the economy and into the stores and paying down your mortgage and so forth. And you know, until we can really get people out there spending more, you know, it really is tough for some of these businesses to go out there and invest back to give even higher wages, to hire more people. You know, that's what we really need. We need some real confidence in the economy to get the employers to really come out, you know, loosen those purse strings. I have the same frustration as the president. I think particularly there's a lot of very major corporations, you know, on Wall Street and, you know, that we, you know, are part of our 401k portfolios that, you know, are doing very well as far as profitability.
Let me jump in there because I want to get Therese Murray in here for the sort of the last question. You raised the issue there, John Hurst, of taxes and that payroll tax really hurting people. Is that part of the conversation, Therese Murray?
Well, if you heard me this morning, that is one of the reasons why I felt that we could not add to that burden by adding another percent onto the income tax. And it's not a good idea anyway for government to depend on the income tax because it's volatile. You know, it goes up, it goes down. And then we have to cut when it goes down. So we have to have a different discussion about what is the new economy. The new economy is based on new technology. And it's a big change. It's like when agriculture went to the Industrial Revolution, you know. And we are constantly changing. In Massachusetts, we're in the forefront of that change. And John certainly knows that with the retailers because they pay the taxes here in Massachusetts, the sales tax. But when people buy online, they don't pay. So with that conversation going on right now in the federal government, and we're hoping that Congress will pass that, that will bring in more revenue back into the states that we've lost. You know, it's over $300 million a year. In fact, it's a lot more than that that we lose out to Internet sales.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
that's a big problem, absolutely.
All right, we've got some agreement there. Therese Murray, Senate President of the Massachusetts Legislature, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And John Hurst, President of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Well, stay with us because up next, Dr. Robert Edwards, the pioneer of in vitro fertilization, passed away yesterday. We'll talk with the first person born in the United States via IVF about the revolutionary technology and where it's headed next. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.